of the earth, and everyone is welcome to the Green Roots Festival, the bike-a-thon after party, this Sunday from noon to 5:30 p.m. in the park across from the Stony Brook T Station in Jamaica Plain. This joyous environmental fest features kids' activities, local environmental and social justice organizations, food, a dance fiesta with live bands in the park, and more. For more information, check out bikesnotbombs.org.
Yeah, they're a great group. Good stuff. And last-ish, but not least, next Saturday, July 2nd, is the International Day of Cooperatives. And local cooperators are planning a co-op fair, the first of its kind in Boston, featuring area cooperatives of all types and their supporters, food, live music, performance, and demonstrations in the parking lot adjacent to Harvest Co-op in Central Square, Cambridge, from 2 to 6 p.m. The event is organized by Branches, the Boston Regional Action Network for Cooperative Housing Expansion Squad. And a programming note, this Sunday morning I will be filling in on Radio with a View, and my guests will include Wayne and Marlene Archer-Clark, who are two of the organizers of the fair. So tune in this Sunday between 10 a.m. and noon to hear me talk with them. They're both very articulate and interesting and know a tremendous amount about co-ops. And we'll talk about the co-op movement, where it's heading, what's going on in Boston, and this fair coming up next Saturday. I should also mention my other guest on Radio with a View this Sunday morning will be the delightful and highly articulate and interesting Professor Gerald Friedman from UMass Amherst, who will be talking about his new research on single-payer healthcare in Massachusetts. Very important stuff, and he explains it all very clearly and well. So tune in this Sunday, and I will cogitate with the best of the cogitators on Radio with a View, Sunday at 10 a.m.
Excellent. And also on Tuesday, this Tuesday, June 28th, there will be a poetic tribute to Gil Scott Heron, presented by Verbalization, a twice-monthly gathering of spoken word artists, coordinated by Vernon VCR Robinson of Blood Skin Land Productions. The event is free and open to all at Hibernian Hall at 184 Dudley Street in Dudley Square, Roxbury. Again, that's this Tuesday, June 28th, starting at 7 p.m.
And that is all that we have time for, because the humans are moving up into the ozone, and we must let them rain down upon you. The views and opinions expressed on this program have been those of the participants and not necessarily the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or MIT. Thank you for being part of what's left this evening, as we have been. And we'll be back next week. Tune in Sunday morning, and much, much more. You are listening to WMBR Cambridge at 88.1 FM. We are the leftmost station on your radio dial. Humans coming anon. Stay with us.
Marhaban, my ponies. Marhaban. How you ride through the meadow of wonder. Here riding with me, the aged stallion, is Erno. Erno, marhaban.
Hello, doctor. I gallop towards you with glee, for we are starting our hour of joy again this week.
I feel very, very joyous.
I whinny with happiness.
I counter whinny. We are welcomed by Zorro. Or are we? Zorro marhaban.
Thank you, Doctor, of course, for having me on the show. Thank you to the listeners as well. I think that today will prove to be exceptional. It's very potential. There is a lot of potential in this day.
Very, very potential. And we have riding with us the mayor, Aurora. Aurora marhaban.
Namaste. It is such an honor for you to have me here today.
Indeed, indeed it is. All of the honor is on your part, Aurora. Aurora, I hear also that you have started a blog.
Yes, I have. And this may sound like such an amorphous thing, but really, it is very structured. When inspiration and enlightenment hit me, I write it down in a computer and allow others to share with me.
Am I the only one that is feeling horsey?
I'm sure there are some souls that you may consider a kindred spirit or something like this, but I must regretfully say that I am not one.
It is very interesting. Whenever people used to ask, why is your face so long, or why the long face, I always thought they were asking why you felt so horsey.
This week, I personally am partial to zebras. Their indecision with regards to white and black and the stripes, it makes me think back on my week and my emotional state. I went from being very happy to very stressed to very sad, back to happy.
Yes, I think it is interesting. The zebra is one of the very few animals which you may say it will look the same if it is reversed. So it looks the same in the dark as it does in the light.
Zebra symmetry. Strange.
But this question, why is a long face and an horse? I'm curious, Aurora, if it is an implication that a horse is a creature of great melancholy.
Well, as we all know, that is not often the case. And so the phrase never really made sense to me, but now I do have this feeling of melancholy when I think of horses. I think of such a mellow, somber mood. It is funny how these misassociations occur.
They are so humble creatures and very, very brilliant, but pretty stupid, because relatively speaking, the brain is small.
Relative to
the size of the body, perhaps. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But yet it is such a large body.
Even in absolute terms, the brain is small. It's a small amount of meat in that dish.
It just cannot satisfy.
Precisely.
You cannot make a meal out of only horse brain.
I'm not sure.
A lot of horses.
Is the brain a tool for consumption? Is the brain a form of food for you?
It can be.
I mean, the principal component, I would say, that I interact with the brain is through friendship or some kind of knowledge of another person's consciousness. And an horse may not exist in the precise same way as an human being, but...
The horse is... Please, Aurora.
This is an interesting question, because it brings to mind the question, when you partake in companionship, are you consuming your friend's soul, your friend's brain?
Well, I think that there is an interesting tendency for one to feel overcome by the personalities which he or she interacts with on a daily basis. So I think that there is some truth to this logic, but on the other hand, it is not literally so, and that is quite clear, because you do not actually consume another person's thoughts. They still have themselves afterwards, although there is this process by which maybe we are modified.
Aurora, the horse is a form of military technology, and being willing to consume part of the horse on a journey is another element to that technology.
Ah, yes, but the question is the horse what it once was, what it was developed for, or is it what it is now? A joyride for teenage girls.
I think you perhaps are referring to the pony, which I may be mistaken, but is not necessarily the same species.
Well, the pony is simply a smaller horse, I believe.
I was always confused.
It is the same animal, or it is a different one that is similar?
No, see, it's a common source of confusion. Like the dove and the pigeon. The pigeon is seen as a dirty city dweller, and the dove is a beautiful symbol of peace and brawn in magic shows. But a dove is simply a small pigeon. It's the same species. And similarly, the bonny is a small horse.
Smaller in body, perhaps greater in spirit and mind.
And they're smaller in mind also.
So this asks the question, is a dove, is it more stupid than
smaller,
a pigeon?
Dumber pigeon?
I mean, pigeon is regarded, if I am correct, as a quite intelligent bird.
Yes. Actually, the dove, the white dove, which is bred for whiteness and for smallhood, it is on average a stupider than a pigeon, which is bred not at all. It is simply bred for fitness.
And this is entirely a result of the size?
No. It is as a result of the breeding. So in particular, when I say the pony is dumber than the horse, I'm lying slightly. In fact, I'm lying completely. The body is smaller, but it is the mean size of the brain of the species that determines the intelligence of the species. And so the human who had the largest brain, which came in at over 6 pounds, was actually really, really stupid.
See, but this leads me to ask, if there is an horse, he is much larger than a human.
Yes.
And how come you are saying that the horse is not as intelligent if the bigger brain is...
It does not have a bigger brain.
I believe the lesson here is quality over quantity.
Well, I believe that we are overlooking a very important fact. The brain is merely the scientist's perception of intelligence. There is, I believe, a greater, deeper intelligence within the horse that cannot be represented by its brain.
In the spine.
Or in some other intangible part, its spirit perhaps is greater.
The spinal fluid.
Well, the spine has a lot of nerves. It is a lot of... Aurora means the spine.
Consider the noble squirrel. The squirrel has great spirit. It is always leaping about and frolicking, despite all of life's hardships.
But as we know, the squirrel's intelligence is entirely quantified by the length and furriness of its tail and not its brain.
Actually, in my experience, a squirrel is leaping about not in spite of the hardships of life, but in fact because of them, it lives a life in constant terror.
I believe both of these things to be untrue, actually. I was friends with a squirrel who was very, very happy and friendly and who lost its tail in a horrible accident, but remained intelligent enough to commune with me and consume of my grapes.
If I may ask, I know this is something of a question personal, but how did you communicate with this squirrel?
Well, the same way that I communicate with all the creatures around me. When you allow your mind to expand beyond the physical constraints of one's skull, this is actually a very interesting interpretation, a result of quantum mechanics, if you will. There are waveforms which overlap with one another. Particles are not constrained within boxes and boundaries. So if you allow your mind to expand by not allowing yourself to understand where it is, then you can overlap your mind with the mind of those around you.
Become entangled with the squirrel. I see what you're saying, Aurora. But how do you actually get to your brain to entangle the squirrel's tail physically around it?
Well, it is very important to reach a close physical proximity. And then, as I said, allow yourself to forget, meditate, and allow your mind to spread out on virtue of not knowing where it is or how fast it's going.
So it is an absorption process in which you relax your mind and allow it to stretch across and perhaps expand not just to be within yourself, but to mix and to mingle with the other consciousnesses, which are very close.
Yes, and for those of you who are scientifically inclined, this is expressed by subduing your left brain. Your right brain has very little understanding of where you are or who you are, where the universe ends and you begin.
And this leads it to better expand outward?
The line between squirrel and human becomes blurry.
Exactly.
So it's interesting.
After the end of this interaction, do you end up in a state where you are part squirrel and part human, and the squirrel is conversely part human and part squirrel?
Well, I often wake up consuming raw almonds and grapes. So I believe, yes, there is some squirrel within me afterwards. I believe that all interactions of this kind leave some sort of fingerprint upon your soul.
As I too have been involved in interactions like this, where I end up becoming so entangled with the world around me that I wake up the next day, no memory, in my backyard, under the bird feeder, and the squirrels have communed. They've communed, and we've had a conversation, not in words.
But in letters or pictures, I'm not sure what you mean.
In spirit. Most,
and bites, yes. And
yeah, I once had a vision.
They become very aggressive when you get in between them and the feeder.
Yes, you are saying you have a vision.
I forgot. No, here it is. I had a vision where I was being chased by a very angry squirrel. Actually, in the beginning of the vision. See, I'm really... Let me arrange it properly.
If you need a moment to get yourself focused, that is okay.
We can do a humming chant for you to raise up the memory.
In fact...
Okay, I'm ready. So, in the beginning, I'm walking in a sidewalk, much like a university park, with trees on either side, and...
What color are the trees?
No, come on. They are black and white. It's a dream. And so I'm dreaming, and, I vision. So I'm walking. The road twists gently. It's very mild. I have a stick. And suddenly, there is a squirrel. I see the squirrel, and I begin running after it. Why? Because it is a vision.
So, does the squirrel notice that you are there?
Oh, immediately. It is very, very noticing. So I run after the squirrel, and it is running. It is faster than me. And then it stops, and I stop. Suddenly, the squirrel turns. It looks directly at me with a menacing look. And my joy, my desire to commune with the squirrel, perhaps to consume it, is gone. It vanishes because the squirrel is angry. It begins to chase me. I run, but the squirrel, as before, is faster than me. It runs up my leg, and it bites me on the neck, and I woke up from the dream.
Wow, that is quite moving. I think it's very interesting.
What do you think was going to happen?
I'm not sure what was going to happen, but what I'm most curious about is why you choose to pursue the squirrel without thought.
It's a vision.
Yes, but is there no motivation?
Why did I wish to be close to the beautiful squirrel?
So you are pursuing it because it is a thing of beauty?
No, I liked it.
Yes, but why?
Because it was beautiful.
That's an important distinction.
So, I ran after the squirrel. It was beautiful, but then when it turned, there was something in the eye, probably the redness of the eye. There was some angle, some furrowing of brow, some biting gesture.
Perhaps the tail is a little bushier.
I knew that it was a carnivorous squirrel. But it was a nice scene because it was in a street.
Aren't all squirrels carnivorous?
No. They are herbivorous. Herbivorous.
May I suggest a meaning for this dream, this vision?
Okay.
Have you in your past ever been attracted to the physicality and forgotten to look deeper into the spirituality, into the reality?
You mean, do I like squirrels?
Things of beauty, not so literally squirrels, so much as perhaps money or women or men.
It is difficult to not be distracted by what the eye can see, or indeed the other senses can experience, what the taste can feel and the smell can hear. All of these combine to generate an attractive image. But beyond that, there is a spiritual thing, a thing that cannot be seen, that can only be thought, can be imagined.
And if you were to describe a halo around the squirrel, what sort of color would you assign to it?
Well, it was a black and white vision. In retrospect, if I were to color it with my tongue brush, I would paint this one in a color, the squirrel, to be a yellow halo, which turned gradually red.
I see. This is quite a striking vision. And when did this occur? When did the vision occur? Was it recently?
Absolutely. Absolutely, it was not. It was when I was in my teenage years.
So quite a long time ago.
Very long.
Can I offer an alternative explanation, Doctor?
Please, Erno.
I believe that your vision gives us insight into your relationship with the world around you. Because you chased the squirrel. And we must ask the question, what does the squirrel represent? Is it physically a squirrel? Possibly. Maybe. Probably. But in the slight chance that the squirrel in the dream represented something else. Something beyond. Something trans-squirrel.
I think I understand. Is there a meaning which we may abstractly apply to the squirrel which gives insight into your motivation?
Yes, perhaps the squirrel and you chasing after it is a statement of your obsession for the physical world, for the material around you, that is especially prevalent when one is a teenager. And then, as you became older, you realize that these obsessions, you're not obsessing over them. Your obsessions are controlling you. And thus the squirrel turns on you. It chases you. It follows you to your disturbing squirrel-related death at the end of that road.
Yes, it's interesting.
And you must get away from the squirrel.
I like this metaphor, and I find it fascinating, actually, is that you have continued it to the ending, which the doctor did not have. He said that he woke up and not that he died. And so I think it is interesting that is your portrayal of the end of the dream.
But when one wakes up from a dream where one is in a precarious situation, that usually represents death. For when one is falling in a dream, you always wake up before you hit the ground with a splatter and a disgusting spray of blood.
Well, I think it would be a good moment for us to meditate. And in order to center this, we will be playing a beautiful piece that was sent in by one of our listeners. Please join us and meditate now. We will be back very shortly. That was very, very lovely. was amazing. And felt is very, very relevant, actually.
Yes, I really appreciate the sort of feeling that that guy was trying to push forward. That sensation of duality or dichotomy.
Yes, I think it's quite interesting how inside of a dream we may experience a full spectrum of emotions. You may consider the notion that our emotions are some result of an interaction with the external world, but if you realize that everything you feel in a dream is contained within your mind, you must confess that all of these emotions are completely within you.
But isn't the world we experience while we awake, isn't that all contained within our mind as well? For what is sensation? What is experience? When you think of what is science, it's all just a language meant to describe how our brain interacts with the world outside. But do we even know the world outside?
Perhaps the ultimate enlightenment is to allow one's brain to become a Klein bottle.
Yes, and I think that the world outside, we never experience it. We only know our interpretation of it.
Mm. Everyone, I realize now as I speak that perhaps I'm not listening to what I'm saying. So I want to play a game for the next 30 minutes, precisely 28 minutes, where we will select a word that we say commonly. And if anyone says it, then we all say it afterwards, immediately, loudly. And I encourage our listeners to play this in the car, also if you have a car. So the word, I propose a common word. How about that?
That?
That.
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 Precisely.
And if someone will say this word, that?
That.
That. That.
Then everyone will repeat as in the case which just happened.
It will encourage us to listen.
And to be mindful.
And to be mindful of the words that we are saying.
That.
That.
Beautiful.
Interesting.
So, the discussion that we will continue now.
I think perhaps it is a good time to invite some other voices onto the air.
Yes, if you would like to join in, we'd be happy to have you. The number is 617-253-8810, and we have two lines open.
And anything that you are willing to speak
that
and commune with us would just be so welcome to us, even if you were to call in and just allow your breathing to be heard.
Well put, Aurora. To continue the discussion, the squirrel attacked me. I wonder, as the singer stated, was I being attacked in life? Was I chasing after something and then being chased by it? Like the king who spends his entire lifetime chasing after the world, and the prince, his son, who revolts and repels the whole world, even though it chases him, he is given the world.
You know, it reminds me that...
That.
Yes, indeed, it reminds me of a saying which I have heard, which is, in principle, to say a person, he may only have drive if he has dissatisfaction.
Aurora.
Well, I was going to remark that we do have... Two personalities within our minds. Even science acknowledges this, that we have our left brains, who are the logical thinkers, and who have the voice, who can speak with words, and our right brain, who perceives the world in a very disorganized almost fashion. It's not sequential. It is more absorbing of millions of facts at once, but it cannot communicate verbally. And so perhaps these dreams, and this is how I've always felt about myself, perhaps these dreams are the right brain's way of screaming out, of communicating, of allowing its voice to be heard. Through pictures, through sensations, through cinematography.
So, what is my right brain telling me, a teenager?
Your right brain is telling you. This is really a question only you can answer. But if it were my right brain, what it would be telling me is, do not chase that which you do not know.
That. It is amazing.
What is the rule if one of us falls behind? Does everyone else, does that become a new that?
That.
I'm unclear as well in this particular game.
Everyone must always say the word.
But as soon as they realize it must be said.
If someone is so far behind...
In the case...
I don't want to get stuck.
In the case that...
Oh, doctor. You are
in
a strange
fellow. In the case in which a person is saying this word in response to another person saying
the word. No, it is only the original word. It has to be part of a complete sentence.
Okay. Thank you. I'm clear.
I think.
So if I just say... the following word, end of sentence, colon, that.
Because it was not said in response, it was the originator.
But it wasn't part of a sentence,
it
so...
It was in the middle of a sentence, though. You were speaking of it.
Was but let us not simply an exclamation.
I think there is actually an origination of this game some nights...
That.
Now, you see, you didn't have to say it then, because it wasn't part of a sentence, it was just an exclamation.
I'm just
trying to make the rules consistent.
Perhaps if there was a word which was slightly less common.
No, it's not common enough.
Or more common?
Let's continue.
What were we talking about? I don't remember.
About the right brain. And the right brain communicating, screaming out.
Perhaps. What was it screaming? The right brain saying to my left brain, hello.
I think these pictures, I think they are very, very indicative, actually, of what Aurora says. The right brain is not a verbal creature.
The right brain, the left brain calculates, computes, analyzes, gives words, numbers, figures, forms. The right brain shapes, colors, it dances a seductive dance that the left brain cannot ignore, but tries to.
I would not say that the left brain attempts to ignore the right. I would say, indeed, that the mind...
That.
In beautiful equilibrium, speaks, it communicates like a couple. It allows its voice to be heard, and it understands the language in which the other half communicates.
I'm not sure always that I understand what the left brain is telling my right brain, or vice versa. Sometimes
that.
Erno is
way
behind. Erno.
Yes, I kind of forgot. I was thinking about the squirrels in your vision, and in
it's
my
okay.
My current squirrel infestation in my yard has been. Just awful, so my mind has been wandering.
So it's
apologies.
Relevant, actually. Because I did not know where the idea of squirrels came to me.
I believe I mentioned communing with squirrels.
And where did the idea of squirrels come to you from?
Commonly understood or misunderstood creatures that people think are very stupid.
Yes, like the dove.
But who contain their own beautiful intelligence and understanding of the universe.
Oh, yes, that's right. This all started when we were discussing the stupidity of horses. Why do we think horses are stupid again? What was the reasoning?
They're relatively stupid, I mean.
I think I actually think they're relatively smart.
Relative to what?
A dove, a pigeon.
But not
a squirrel,
relative,
a cockroach.
Not relative to a monkey.
No, I think they're probably much smarter than a monkey.
No.
I think that an important point to consider is the actions which a monkey will take in the course of its lifetime are entirely separate actions from a horse, and his proficiency at the matter is an entirely different kind of intelligence.
Yes, I believe that it is almost impossible to compare
that.
Did I say that word?
No.
That.
I believe that I am losing all sense of the words and only listening to the sounds. To the consonants and vowels.
I still don't know how you compare the monkey and the horse. It's comical.
And
it's not there's no, like, consistent measure. I mean, they live completely different lives. I mean, a horse, you could say a horse is stupid because it doesn't know how to get bananas as easily as a monkey, but a horse has no need for bananas, so that doesn't make it stupid.
I personally have never witnessed a monkey which galloped across the plains.
I wonder if any of our listeners have personal close experience with horses and monkeys.
Preferably both at the same time. We need comparison, some type of common ground.
I have this experience, and there are behaviors. There is the taming of the two creatures, which is one is different from the other. There are tests that one may perform, but the easiest thing to do is to weigh the brains.
Yes, I don't know if that's a good measure either. It's very strange. We assume the monkey's smarter because it's more like us.
No, it has a bigger brain.
Than us?
No, smaller than, even smaller.
It has a bigger brain than the horse.
Smaller.
I'm confused now. I've lost track.
Oh, it's bigger than the horse. Bigger than the horse. Smaller than your brain.
But is it bigger than a bread box?
I mean, just absolute size, because...
No.
Humpback whale's brain must be gigantic.
No.
Do you know this for a fact?
Yes.
I don't.
No, it's true. The mean brain size is an absolute measure across the species.
But what is intelligence but a human abstract?
No, it's real.
I think
it is real.
We should find out how big a whale brain is and compare it, because I would assume you have to normalize to the size of the species.
No. It is absolute thing.
I don't agree, Doctor.
No, it's not.
I think this is absurd.
I think that perhaps the matter is...
When you are comparing... See, I do not know a lot about computers, but when you are comparing the speed of the two computers, is the size of the box an issue?
No, it depends on what car they're in.
But
that's completely beside the point.
A faster processor may be smaller. The question is the number of pins or the number of neurons. Perhaps there are species that have denser...
No.
How are you?
We're
so
talking
sure?
about the speed of the computers and the physical speed that they're moving.
No. No, the speed with which it does the stupid things it is able to do. People always... This is a common misconception. It's easily cured.
To change the subject...
Change the music.
I think it is...
Since Aurora has decided not to change the subject, I will change the subject back to what we were initially talking about. Horses.
I change it to what Aurora was talking about.
We don't know what Aurora was talking about.
Aurora.
She just stopped talking.
I must admit I'm getting somewhat overwhelmed at the moment.
I think that this game which we are subscribing to is actually quite an enlightening experience. It really sheds light on our own language. It has taken us and thrown us far off course in our discourse.
Language is a good example.
Let me go back to my non sequitur, if I may.
Which?
The one she did not make.
I will hold the current thought I have in my head. I will hold it there. Continue.
Like a pea.
I believe it is so very interesting how us humans always attempt to mimic biological things, things that our Mother Earth have created and manufactured, and we make sort of rough children's sketches, stick figures, if you will. Make these motors, we make these chips and wires like neurons. Saran wrap like skin.
Erdo.
Yes, Doctor.
You were saying. You were holding it.
I don't remember. I lost it. I let go of the thing I was holding on to in my mind, and I no longer have the thought.
I've consulted with a book that I have. I'm waiting.
That.
And
I was first this time.
Yes.
I'm getting the hang of this game.
It says that...
That.
That.
A brain of a blue whale is the biggest brain on the planet. And that... I'm waiting.
It is no longer a game if you wait.
And the brain size is approximately 6 kilograms, which compares to a 1.4 kilogram human brain.
Yes, and I would agree that in that immense amount of experience that I have
that
with blue whales, that we are smarter.
That.
I am not repeating that, Doctor.
That.
Let us perhaps... engage in conversation with an external voice.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the program.
Hello. I just wanted to comment on today's program. I'm a regular listener of this show. Every week I like to wind down a little bit on a Friday and listen to you guys.
Well, thank you for calling.
And it troubles me that
that
show has a bit of a tone of silliness. I don't mean to seem too serious, but when I tune into the show, I like to really reflect. And I'm afraid that the other co-host I'm not familiar with may not be contributing to that vibe.
That.
I think that...
That.
This exercise is actually something quite interesting to partake in. I actually suggest this to everyone who is listening. Play this game. Perhaps you do not wish to play it with the word that.
That.
But play this game and you will have light shed on your own verbal reactions.
I agree with you, caller, about this game. It irks me as well, but I think that perhaps a bit of glee involved in our meditation and our relaxation techniques, it can be of assistance.
Aurora.
I do believe that.
What about the brain conversation? I'm not seeing why that would, or what that's giving to
that
guys.
That yeah, the
what are
brain
you getting
conversation.
Out of that?
We have some contention, I think, about the measure of intelligence.
Now, Kohler, I think it's very important, and this is why I have, in part, extended this conversation. I believe, personally, that it is important to understand other types of intelligence. Not merely the physical, human-labeled intelligence, but the intelligence that other creatures hold within themselves.
Actually, Kohler,
I personally think it's an important question to wonder if the animals that we think are intelligent, do we only think they are intelligent because they are similar to us? Perhaps that is our only... We can only grasp and understand intelligence as similar to our own. It's an important question.
Well, then, actually, Kohler, I think I brought up the issue in the beginning, and the place that I was hoping the conversation would go is to address a recent question that I experienced. Which is that I learned that people often ascribe intelligence to inanimate objects.
But the inanimate objects have no brain.
Precisely.
But is not the candle that burns bright? Does it not perform a function? Is that not a form of intelligence?
No, I don't think so. But at the same time, again, these computers we talk about, often they are treated as though they possess human-like qualities.
I see.
But there is no brain.
That is an important measure, I think.
It is a miracle of the human mind that we are able to connect with other creatures and other objects through this personification.
And caller, I also would like to add that often we are a little bit silly. We do like to make jokes, and there is a lot of seriousness even behind the jokes.
Okay, have a wonderful...
Caller, thank you so much for calling in. I really appreciate your input.
Thanks, bye.
Thank you, caller. Let's bring in another voice. Caller 2, marhaban.
Yes, hello.
Welcome, caller.
I would like to suggest another word to use for your next game. Mm. One that's fairly common in my household. Perhaps it's as common in your household. It's
what is the word, caller?
I think we should use that word.
Yeah, I think perhaps we can play both of the games at the same time.
Yeah, you know, and I thought that in the induction of the game it would be valuable to have something very common. But I think in future we will choose words that are less common, just with the hope that everyone is mindful of theirs and other words.
Yes, I believe that it is unfortunate in a radio program to cover up your fellow co-host's words with your screaming.
Absolutely. But, for example, if we used it for the word light, I think it would be helpful.
That would be beautiful.
So just to bring in that induction. Let's bring in a third voice. Caller, marhaban. I think we lost the third voice. In any case. Caller, are you feeling silly with us today?
Am I feeling silly? No, I'm feeling quite serious.
Excellent, caller.
And why do you not feel silly, caller?
My serious is your silly.
That is a very important point. Our minds are only large enough to accept ourselves and our experiences.
Perhaps if we had a mind the size of a blue whale, it would be more easy for us to overlap.
It is a great thing also for me to learn that this long-held belief about the size of the absolute size of the brain was actually completely wrong.
I think perhaps that the brain size is more of a factor multiplicative in the intelligence. That is, there's some formula for intelligence, and you may multiply by brain size at the end.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I thought you said it.
Yeah, so actually the truth is we learned today that the whale
that
is the biggest brained creature of all. Is that correct?
That is correct.
I would like a fact check on that, actually. Perhaps we can get back to the callers next week.
Absolutely. I'd love to do that.
That?
I grudgingly acquiesce. That.
That? I'm confused again.
I was grudgingly taking part in that game.
It's stunning that this game will drive all abstractions from your consciousness and you will focus on each syllable.
Yes, my mind now does feel pure and empty. A clean slate and an open vessel for new and hopefully purer thoughts.
My mind feels
clogged.
Mine feels like a traffic jam.
You must have ended up with all the thats.
That. I think you may be correct.
Everyone, I'm so sorry if it was too.
I am not suffering, but I am learning in a painful way.
I am suffering.
Well, everyone, thank you for being here and for suffering together. I hope it brought us closer together. Thank you, Aurora.
Namaste.
Thank you, Zoro.
Thank you, Doctor, and of course, thank you to all the listeners out there as well.
And thank you, Erno.
Yes, thank you, Doctor. It has been a wonderful time.
I'm Dr. Jalis Sakran here on Music for Human, which is New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you, here every Friday at 7 p.m. on WMBR Cambridge 88.1 FM. Stay tuned for more stuff. Ma'asalama.
Safety.
Number one,
cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two,
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number 3.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number 4.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians in unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.